Yo, what's up? It's your boy E.T., pastor of A Place of Change Ministries. Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. You know, so many people have said to me, E, we love the normal service, but the podcast, we can wash dishes, wash clothes, work out to it, drive up and down the road, our commute to work. And so, guys, thank you so much. Look, you know, we have one goal here, and that is to meet your spiritual needs. And so we hope that this message helps you in your everyday walk, helps you in your transformation, and most importantly, we hope that it helps you to make the rest of your life the best of your life.
The Bible declares that we are more than, come on, the Bible declares that we are more than, as a conqueror, amen, as somebody who conquers and overcomes, I want you to understand that the only way you're going to be an overcomer, only way you're going to be a conqueror is if you have mission over mood, is if you're purposeful and not emotional. That's when you can't have emotions. Come on. It means your emotions can't have, nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. And so I'm just super excited today as I really think about what it means to be an overcomer. And so your level of resistance determines your level of deliverance. And I want that to marinate for a second. As I was sitting down reading the word of God and just breaking it down, I said, okay, God, like talk to me. Like, what does it mean to be an overcomer? What does it mean to be more than conquerors? And God put squarely on my heart, your level of resistance determines your level of deliverance. And so I know some of you might not be track runners, but for those of you, just slip your hand in the air if you ever ran track back in the day, even for like 30 seconds, maybe the first day of track practice. And so you might have quit, but it's okay. You're not a quitter. You're an overcomer. Amen. I started coaching high school track, Rodney. And when I started coaching high school track back in the day, I had developed my training philosophy based upon summer track. And in case you don't know, summer track is a little bit more extreme than high school track. And in summer track, we always run on Monday quarters. We run about 3 or 4 400-meter dashes every Monday. And if you've never run track before, when you run a 400-meter dash, it is going to test your will. It's going to determine how bad you really want it. So on the first day of practice in high school track, and when I became the sprinter, I told the kids, we run a 400s. And they looked at me like, what? Like, it's not summer track. I said, I know, but y'all want to be great. And all of them hesitated and they're like, well, if that's what it takes to be great, I'm not sure I really want to be great, great. Like great, but not great, great. I said, no. We're going to run 400s. And I remember the first day running 400s, we ran about one. We got one done and everybody was ready to quit. Everybody's like, coach, I'm good. Like I put my hamstring, I hurt my toe, my knees messed up. Like everybody had an injury when it came time for 400 day. And so I went back, and it's funny because one of my children, I won't say who, was telling me that when they get older and get into the world, they're going to tell everybody how hard I was on them. And I remember one of my children, when they were about 5 or 6 years old, we were at a track practice, and Vince, I got to tell the truth, Shane the Devil, and I remember it was quarter day. And he was probably about 6 years old, and he ran the first quarter, and he started to cry. And the parents, oh, man, he's crying. Come here. I said, don't touch him. Don't touch him. Get back on the line. He ran the second one. He was crying. Marcus, they said, oh, come here. Nah, don't touch him. Get back on the line. He cried for the entire practice running 400s. And the parents are like, they're like, oh man, you he too hard on them. You got to balance love with being a tough dad. Like Maurice, they was like, man, you being too. I said, no. He told me he wanted to be elite. He told me he wanted to be great. He told me he wanted to go to the NFL. And from my studying, they said that when you run 400s, it makes you faster. Now, can I tell the truth? I don't know if that's true anymore. You know how they said when you was a kid, when you bend over, they said, stand up, you get oxygen up here. Well, I heard that now they say that's not true. and all my kids come back. Coach, you've been lying all these years. You said we can't do this. I said, that's what I read. I thought it was true. I'm sorry. So what I've learned is that maybe, just maybe, right, running 400s does not make you faster. So have I been lying to my son since he was 5 years old about 400s making him faster? Maybe. Maybe. But 400s change you. 400s make you. 400s break you down to build you up. 400s make you a better athlete and a better person. Let me explain why. See, some of you think that it was just my high school kids, just my son when he was 5 years old. So Gabby Thomas, an Olympian, was quoted as saying, it really hurts around the 300 to 350 mark. That's when it's all grit. It's all willpower. It's mental. On the hardest part of running the 400-meter dash, Gabby is saying, when I get to about 300, 350, it's no longer talent. It's not speed. It's what? It's grit. It's what? It's willpower. It's how bad do you truly want it? It is mission over. So at that point in time, you have to make a decision at 350 mark. Am I going to finish or am I going to quit? Because here's the secret, ladies and gentlemen. All of you that want to get in shape, get your summer body, get your beach body, get your two-piece body. Listen to that carefully. Your mind will tell you you can't go anymore when your body actually can. There will come a point, we call it the wall. There will come a point, listen to me very carefully, there will come a point where you say to yourself mentally, I can't feel my legs, my heart is beating fast, I can't breathe, I can't do anymore. That's when your mind says that, but your body can actually do more. Jesus Christ was on the ground. He said, Lord, take this cup from me. Not once, not twice. He asked over and over, and he decided, mission over. Moves. And so the 400-meter dash, that's just make you a better athlete, but it teaches you that there will come a point when you feel like you can't move forward, but you actually can. So your level of resistance determines your level of deliverance, which means how much can you resist the thought to quit? Can you resist the thought of being comfortable? Because you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. That's the mindset. Watch this. True strength. Somebody say true strength. It's force at the threshold. I want you to screenshot this because this is going to be what's going to carry you through 2025. True strength is force at the threshold. The place where the old self wants to do what? Quit. And the new self is waiting to be born. It's resurrection weekend. So our mindset has to say true strength isn't how much you can lift, isn't how much you can take, but it's when you're at the threshold, when you feel like you can't go on mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It's when you want to quit and a new self is waiting to be born. Every time you push through, you resurrect into someone you were meant to become. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ died for our sins. And he also died so we can have life and have life more abundantly. The abundant life comes when you die to sin and you resurrect the new you. You have to die to something in order to be resurrected. So everybody in this room, you have something that you need to die to. I don't know what it is. It's not my business. But what do you need to die to in order to resurrect into the person who God's called you to be? You're like, Pastor, I've been praying. Praise God. Pastor, I've been going to church. Praise God. Pastor, I've been doing this. I've been doing that. Praise God. But you ain't died to nothing. I want a new life. You do, but you haven't died to anything. I want my finances to be better, but you have not died to spending frivolously. I want my marriage to be better, but you haven't died to pride. I want my body to look better, but you ain't died to fast food. I'm going to come down your street real quick. I'm going to come down, Pastor, I want a better job. But you ain't died of procrastination. I want a better relationship with my kids. But you haven't died of hypocrisy. Pastor, what you mean? You calling me a hypocrite? I ain't calling you a hypocrite. I'm just saying, if we tell our kids one thing, we do the opposite thing, then they're looking at us like, Dad, you just said, but you... I'm confused, Dad. You go to church every Sabbath, every Sunday, you're reading the word, you preaching the word, but you ain't died to what you preach about. That's okay. That's okay. I'll talk to myself today. This is Red Cave. I know this might be an out sermon, not an amen sermon. You need to die to something if you're going to resurrect the life that God has for you. You praying for abundance, you praying for the new, but you ain't done with the old. So when you come up here and you take your communion, you biting, you drinking, but you're going back to doing the same thing. You haven't died to anything. Mercy. Jesus Christ died and then he rose. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he didn't just die, Ronnie. He 3 days. He didn't do one. He didn't do two. He said, I want you to know that I'm dead. Yeah. Oh, y'all missed it. LaShawn, they missed it. Listen to me very carefully. Some of you are dead to that old sin, but you ain't dead to that. You stop for 5 days, maybe 7 days, maybe a month, but you ain't dead to it. Jesus said, I'm going to lay here for 3 days so you know that I'm dead to it. It's over. I'm finished. You can't have resurrection until you die to something. And ladies and gentlemen, that's at the threshold. The point where you feel like you can't keep going. The point where you don't want to move. You don't want to get up. You tired. You don't feel like it. Jesus didn't feel like it either. Oh, man. I'm listening very carefully. Repeat after me. Submit and resist. Submit and resist. Therefore, submit to God. Therefore, submit to God. Not your wife first. Not your husband first. Not your job first. Submit to God. Resist. Now, let me. Can I teach? Yes, sir. The Bible's so sweet. It's in order. It says submit to God. Then resist. Some of y'all trying to resist, but you ain't submitted. And you wonder why you can't resist. That went over y'all heads. Okay, y'all get it later on, because that was your praise spot. It says, number one, right? Hold on. Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. Remember that? You got to go in order. Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. Parentheses, I believe. Exponents. Division. It's okay. It's okay. I know I failed math too. Therefore, submit to God. Then you resist the devil and he will free from you. Pastor, I've been resisting. I'm trying to resist pornography, Pastor. I'm trying to resist smoking. I'm trying to resist fornication. I'm trying to resist cussing the guy that cut me off in the park. I'm trying to resist. It's not working, LaShonda. Well, have you tried submitting first? Because it says submit, then it said resist. So you haven't submitted, so therefore you don't have the power to resist. You don't have the power to resist because you didn't submit first. When you submit, God gives you the power to resist. I'm a recovering temperaholic. It's okay. I made the word up, okay? It's okay. Look it up later on, which means that I used to have a very bad temper, and people will cut me off in traffic. I'm going to come right here. I'm going to come right here, Jill. I feel like I'm comfortable right here, Jill. People will cut me off in traffic, and then I will speed up, and I will cut them off. And I won't give them the finger, but I give them a look like, and then they will cut me off, then I will cut them off. You know, I wouldn't give them a finger, but I give them a look like, you don't want these problems. And then I will pray like, God, I'm resisting. He said, you can't resist the temptation to lose your temper because you haven't submitted. I said, God, what you mean? I'm a preacher. I'm reading the word. He said, but if you submit it and you have the spirit, the word of God says that patience, long-suffering, kindness. So if you don't have patience, love, suffering, kindness, then maybe you haven't submitted. Because if you have submitted, then you have that. So when it cuts you off, you're like, oh, it's okay. Take care. You must be in a rush. You can't resist because you haven't submitted. I know you haven't submitted because you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to let that breathe right there. Because it doesn't say, listen, if you have the fruit of the Spirit, you have it all, not one, two, or three. You have them all. It says, cleanse and purify. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He is saying, listen very carefully, when you go around the world and you touch this and touch that, your hands get dirty. And if you don't cleanse your hands get dirty. You go put your hands in your mouth and you eat, and then you're sick. So if I can get sick physically for not cleaning my hands before I eat, then I can get sick spiritually. Pastor, I don't know why I'm stressed out. I'm depressed. I don't know why I'm acting like I'm acting. You sick? Why are you sick? Because you haven't cleansed your hands. Well, Pastor, I went to church. I went to church 5 days ago. So you wash your hands every 5 days? It's okay. I know some of y'all don't wash your hands, you know, before you eat. It's okay. I know you've been in the bathroom before you wash your hands. You see my man come in and go out. You look at him like, bruh, you didn't just walk past that. And then for the next 2 days, you see everybody, you see, you're like, what's up, bruh? This is because you saw that one dude, like, what's up, bruh? I'm not judging, bruh, but you went in there and you didn't wash. And some of you Christians are going through the world getting nasty, getting dirty, and you coming back to me, give me a high five. No, don't touch me, because you ain't cleansed your hands. I'm not judging, but you got some dirt on you. I don't want to get it on me, because I might get sick. I don't got time to be sick. I'm trying to walk in the Spirit. Don't touch me. You ain't washed your hands. I'm not judging, but you dirty right now. I can't afford for you to get me dirty. Then I walk into my house, I get my wife dirty, I get my sons dirty, then my whole house infected. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to use sanitizer. It says 99.9. So if I use it twice, I'm double covered. No. You got to wash. Then the word of God says, purify your hearts, you double-minded, which means you can't be for God and be for the... You're not pure. You double-minded. You want God when you want God, and you want this when you want this. But we're here for communion, amen? We want to resurrect, but we ain't cleansed. We want to resurrect, but we're not pure. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway because I don't care. Just be very careful. I'm at track practice. I'm sorry, I'm at a track meet. And there's a kid on a track team who has a personal trainer, and I'm a personal trainer too. He got a personal trainer, and he's at a track meet for Portage Northern High School. And we had a conversation about, like, you know, him wearing his personal training uniform, not wearing Portage Northern uniform when he playing for Portage Northern. And we talked about it, Angie, on the side as a coaching staff, but y'all know me. Y'all know me. This is who I am. So I was just walking, Roddy. I'm like, what's up, bro? I said, what you got on? You know, I'm from everybody. This is who I am. What you got on, bro? Oh, this is my personal training. I said, oh, for real? I said, but you're running for Portage Northern, right? He was like, yeah. I said, okay, well, you're not running with that on. You running for him? Or you running for us? I don't care. He's a personal trainer. I'm cool with that. I'm a personal trainer too. But you had a Portage Northern track meet scoring points for us. So you're on his team right now or on our team right now? Because if you're on our team, put the clothes on. If you're not, go over there. You double-minded. You can't be double-minded. You either with me or you... Don't give me to go to the world. I know y'all been in the world. Don't give me to go to Pop. Is that, was it Pop? Was it Biggie? You either with me or you against me. That didn't start in the world. That started in the word of God. Yeah. You either hot or you cold. Not lukewarm, because I'm going. Yeah. Repeat after me. My victory is in my faith. My victory is in my faith. Listen. It's not about like how hard can I fight? Just how hard can I pray? But your victory is found in your faith. Let me show you why. 1 John 5 through 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that has overcome the world. Our I just want to teach today, y'all. I ain't trying to motivate. I just want to teach y'all today. I'm from the Word of God. The victory, right, that we receive is from our what? Our faith. Let me go back. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Pastor, I can't overcome the world. Are you born of God? And this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So our faith is how we overcome. Our faith is how we resurrect. Because Jesus died so we can have life and have life more abundantly. He already won. Now I don't know if it's just me. You know, I might say it's arrogance. I say it's confidence. But if it's just me, but I've been lifting so long. You know what I'm saying, bro? Like when I walk into a weight room, I walk in like, I'm going to need those. I'm going to need all those. You need that? Let me get the 45s. You need those 45s? Let me get those 45s right there. Let me get that 35 too. Sometimes I have 35. Let me get that too. Right? I've been doing it for so long, I know what I can do. I have history. Okay. Let me like, I don't know if you're talking about Pastor. When you have history with God, you walk different. You talk different. You respond different. When you got history with God bringing you through, taking you through, taking you over top, you respond different. Because he remember, like, God brought me through that, so God can bring me through that. I know what my God can do. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Alpha and Omega. I know he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's omniscient. He's all knowing. He's omnipresent. My God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I got history. I got history. Yeah. Why y'all saying, Pastor? Why you got so much passion? Because when I was accused of murder, my God brought me through. And I thought to myself, it can't get no harder than this. But then my daughter died. When my daughter died, I said, it can't get no harder than this. God said, son, we got history.
Thank you, God.
If I brought you through that, I'll bring you through this.
Thank you, God. Faith.
Pastor, how you doing? There's good days and there's rough days. Faith.
Yes,
Pastor, how you feel? I'm not sure how I feel right now. I'm thinking about my daughter right now. I can't believe she's gone. Faith.
Yes, thank you, God.
Mission over mood. I don't feel like it. I know you don't feel like it, but what's the mission? What's the mission? People are like, oh, Pastor, maybe you need to take more time off. Like your daughter just passed. You got to take time. I said, listen, I feel you. I know what they say, but I prayed and I took my time. And God told me I got to go back to doing what it is because somebody out there needs to hear how I'm getting through because it's going to help them. So I brought you back to Jesus to show you that Jesus overcame the world. So with Jesus, we can overcome the world. So Jesus is our model. He is our mark. Watch this. Model the mark, not the majority. Model the mark, not the majority. The majority are going to quit at 250 meters. The majority are going to give up at 300 meters. The majority are going to say, I've reached my threshold. I can't keep going. Can I tell y'all a secret? Can I give y'all like y'all might not know, but my degree is in health fitness. So my degree is in health fitness with a minor in athletic coaching. So my degree is in working out. Can I tell y'all a secret? I'm going to help y'all for y'all summer bodies, right? Listen very carefully. You don't really start training. Let me say it this way. The workout, Coco, doesn't start until it starts hurting. I'm just going to let that breathe for a second. I'm not talking about hurting like you hurt yourself, but you haven't really started really pushing to go to the next level. Let me say that. right? You might be in your warm-up stage. You might be in your maintenance stage. But in terms of resurrecting a new body, when you lift weights, you get what's called small micro tears in your muscle, which means your muscles are tearing. A lot of you don't want to go into the tearing phase, so therefore you don't have a resurrection phase. You missed that. And so what happens is, a lot of times we reach our threshold where it gets difficult and then we stop. We reach our threshold, it gets difficult, and then we stop. We reach our threshold, it gets difficult, and then we stop. We say, I don't understand why nothing's changing. Nothing's changing because you keep stopping. You have to get to your threshold of, I can't do anymore, and then do. But it's okay. You keep doing your warm-up. You keep warming up. Pastor, I'm not changing because you're warming up. You're still warming up. You don't want to push past the threshold. Listen very carefully, right? Matthew, right? But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. Did Peter cuss Jesus out? Did he throw a punch at him? Did he look at him the wrong way? Peter was defending my man. Like, bro, I'm fighting with you. Let's go. And he said, get behind me, Satan. You are offending me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. Jesus is saying you're an offense, not because you're smoking weed, not because you fornicate, not because you're doing this or doing that. He's saying because you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of. So if I'm going to resurrect, become the person God has called me to be, to have the abundant life, I got to have the things in mind of the things of God, not of man. When man says stop, God says keep going. Model the mark, not the majority. The majority are going to quit. I'm not the majority. Oh, I declare to you, we had a track meet yesterday. We had a track meet yesterday. And if y'all don't know, at the end of the track meet, it's always the 4x4. I'm the sprint coach. LaShawn, do you know how many kids came up to me? Coach, coach. I said, well, I already knew what she wanted. She was like, coach, coach. I was like, no, I really started running. She was like, stop, coach, stop. I said, what? She said, do we have to run a 4x4? We in fifth place right now, coach. And the reason she said that is because even if they took first, they'd have enough points to catch up. I looked at her, I said, do you want to be great? Because we in fifth, we can't win. You can win. Y'all missed that. You can win. You worried about points to win as a team. And maybe mathematically we can't. But if you run the 4x4 today and you run it the next time and the next time, you're going to get better, you're going to get better, you're going to get better, you're going to get better. Do you want to grow or you just trying to win? Are you here? Are you here for the abundant life? Or are you here just to get points? Are you here to become the best version of yourself or just to check the box? Yeah. Some of us come to church to check the box. It's Easter weekend. Let's check the box. Do you want to win or do you want to grow? Do you want to resurrect? Do you want the abundant life? Because if you want the abundant life, coach, it's half 4x4. Let's go. Give me the baton. I'm ready to go. But coach, it's going to hurt. I know it's going to hurt. You can't grow without going through hurt. I'm sorry if you heard a different pastor tell you something different. I'm telling you they're wrong. You can't grow without going through pain. Why? Why, pastor? I'll tell you why. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So God's got to put you through something that requires faith so you can please him. Did y'all catch that? But if you never go through anything that requires faith, then you don't have an opportunity to please God. So next time God pushes you something that requires faith, say, God, thank you. This is my opportunity to please you. Amen, amen. That's good. So faith is required to overcome. I'm giving you principles. Listen to me very carefully. Jesus chose calling over comfort. Jesus chose his calling over comfort. Comfort. There's nothing wrong with being comfortable. But comfortable won't help you achieve your calling. Luke 4, verse 28. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. You might have read the scripture before. Have I read this before? They're talking about Jesus. They talking about Jesus. Dude that walked on water. The dude that gave sight to the blind. The dude that gave hearing to the dude that brought people back to life. They're trying to throw a man over a cliff. And maybe I'm the only one that's like tripping, like, and you crying about being rejected. You, Pastor, you know what she said to me? You ain't walked on water. You ain't get sight to the blind. I'm offended. They rejected me. They rejected Jesus. Then passing through in the midst of them, he went his way. As he passed through, listen very carefully. They tried to throw him over a cliff. And he said, nah, bro, that's not my calling. And he passed through. He didn't argue. He didn't fight. He passed through. It doesn't matter who's against you. God will allow you to pass through. They can hate on you. God's going to have you pass through. I don't got to defend myself. My God going to defend me. Can I tell you a secret? I'm going to help somebody out. Has any of you ever been rejected before? Ever been rejected? Just me, right? Can I tell you a secret? Rejection is your confirmation. Rejection is your confirmation. If you're pleasing everybody, are you pleasing God? Oh, don't let that go over your head. If I'm pleasing everybody and I make everybody happy, I'm probably doing what they want me to do, and that's what God wants me to do. If they rejected Jesus and you are, if they rejected Jesus and the Spirit of God's living in you, you don't expect them to reject you too? You don't expect them to disagree with you? I'm not saying you got to kick up dirt, but also I'm not about to bow down and worship your feelings and your opinion. Luke 4, verse 1 says, temptations. Be very carefully, right? Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. Who was he led by?
The Spirit.
The devil?
Spirit.
It wasn't Lucifer?
No.
It wasn't the imps? He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Spirit of God led him to be tempted. Okay, let me slow down. Let me slow down. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, that sounds like a 400-meter dash right there. Maybe a 600-meter dash. Afterwards, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Has anybody ever challenged you to prove something to them? And you thought you had to prove something to them? I'm a child of the King, bro. I don't got to prove nothing to you. I don't got to prove nothing. Before he formed my mother's womb, he set me apart. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God. Listen, I don't know if y'all caught this, right? Weezy, I'm going to take my time. Bear with me. I don't know if y'all caught this, but with Adam and Eve, when Lucifer was talking to Eve, he was talking to him in the same way. You feel me? He was like, well, if, did he, maybe, possibly, man, shut up. Shh, be quiet. Remember that? Was that Shanae? Stop talking to me. Maybe, possibly, he said, if, bro, don't if me, I am. But I don't got to prove none to you. I don't got to prove none to you. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. So you telling me that if I am the Son of God, I got power to command something, but yet you trying to command me to do something? How that work? But he answered and said, It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We've all heard this text before, but it's important that we don't miss it. It said he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, so he was hungry. His flesh was hungry, but he fasted to show that you have to feed on the word of God. So as much as you eat to survive physically, are you eating in the same way to survive spiritually? Don't answer that question. Some of y'all eat 5 times a day. Some of y'all 6. And a bag of chips on the side. And you wash it down with an extra large Coke or Pepsi. But you get the word once a week. You say, Pastor, why am I spiritually not malnourished? Because you ain't eating. And let my wife tell it, when I go a long time without eating, she said, I get hangry. I don't know if that's a real word or not, but like she look at me and be like, your daddy hangry. Let's get him some food. Have you ever got hangry because you've been spiritually malnourished? Have you ever got to the point like, man, I ain't been in my word. Something that's not right. I got to go read. I got to go worship. I got to turn some music on. Something's not right. I haven't been around Jesus. Something's not right. Have you ever got hangry because you have not been in the word of God? I'm stressed. I'm depressed because you hungry. You ain't got the word. You ain't filled. He was fasting for 40 days, 40 nights, and then he was hungry. But he said, we got to live on the word that comes from his mouth. It's simple, ladies and gentlemen. We can't come here in resurrection once a year, or twice a year, eat the bread, drink the wine, and walk out of here, and we ain't died to nothing. Oh, don't get to, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Listen very carefully. God will take you through some things so some things can leave. Oh, you missed it. It's okay. I miss my daughter more than I can ever explain. But what I would tell you is that Aries Mahogany Tyus birthed something in me that my sons never could. If you've ever done adoption or foster care, I have patience like no other. Every time my boys leave, I tell them I love them. I hug my boys more than I did. It's okay. Y'all missing it. It's okay. Now when they go to bed, I don't just assume they go. Because some of you don't know, my daughter didn't wake up. She went to bed fine, she didn't wake up. So now when they go to bed, I don't just assume. I left, my wife and my youngest son went to Detroit to take my middle son to the doctor appointment. And when I left, I said, Bonzel, man, I holler at you, man, I love you, man. I wasn't doing that before Aries. Don't let God take you through some pain in order for you to recognize the importance and the presence of what you have. How hungry are you for the word of God? How hungry are you to be in his presence? To be in the presence of people that speak life and not death. People who uplift and don't tear down. Your resistance to temptation is based on your adherence to revelation. Screenshot or read it later. Your resistance to temptation is based upon your adherence to revelation. Pastor, what does that mean? Jesus responded, it is written. He didn't respond what he felt like. He responded, it is written. So if you're going to resist, you have to adhere to the revelation that God gives you. Whatever the word is teaching you, whatever you're being taught in sermons, whatever you're being taught in praise and worship, whatever you're being taught spending time with God, if you don't adhere to that revelation, you can't resist temptation. He responded, it is written. See, very carefully, Jesus is the model. So Pastor, how do I live? Listen, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, if you read the Synoptic Gospels and you look at Jesus Christ's life, he's teaching you how to live. So I'll leave you with this, because for some of you, this is where you are. In the book of John, verse 11:43. The word of God says, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out and bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Take me back one slide, Jamie, if you can, please. I want to read it again before I close. I want to make sure everybody caught this. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. There's many of you sitting in this room today and that are watching online on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And it was a time when you prayed and you fasted. It was a time when you came up here for communion a year ago or 10 years ago. You were at the foot of the cross and you asked God for deliverance. And God said, come forth. You went through divorce, bankruptcy, car repossessed, criminal trial. And you prayed to God. And God said, come forth. You've been dead, but now I'm calling you to life. You've been dead, and now I'm calling you to the abundant life. Listen very carefully. I remember sitting in the room, listen very carefully, when I was accused of murder, and God said, come forth. Come forth. You were dead to that because you were living in that, but I'm telling you right now that if you would die to that, I'm going to have you resurrected, so come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes on. I'm telling somebody that's listening right now, so be very careful. You cannot have the abundant life because you still have your grave clothes on. God already called you to come forth. God already told you that you're no longer, you are alive in Christ, but you still got your grave clothes on. You still going back to the same stuff. You alive. So you got dead. You got dead man clothes on. Jesus said to them, somebody say them. Loose him and let him go. Do you have people in your life who can look at you and say, you got your grave clothes on. Come out of that. God delivered you from that 2010, 2020, 2023, 2 minutes ago. God delivered you from that. You got friends with the audacity to say to you, TJ, bro, take them grave clothes off. You're not dead. Bro, you already died to that, bro. You resurrected. I need people who can come to me and say, TJ, bro, those are grave clothes. That's the old you. That's good. That's good. This is the new you. Loose him. You're still in bondage because you still have your grave clothes on. You walking around with grave clothes on and ain't nobody saying nothing to you. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. I love the Jesus. I went to church today. It was a great sermon. It felt real good. Sermons that meant to feel good. It's meant to change you. Jesus' life was to teach us. His death was to free us. What part are you not taking advantage of? His teaching or his freedom? Or perhaps both? Is the world teaching you? Or is Jesus' life teaching you? I say this to myself to encourage myself. If Jesus Christ died for my sins so that I can have life and have life more abundantly, and I'm not living the abundant life, was his death in vain? If I don't have an abundant bank account, abundant health, abundant marriage, abundance with my children, am I taking advantage of his blood? Am I taking advantage of it? Are you taking advantage of his death? Like, don't come up here and take communion if you're not going to take advantage of him dying for your sins. He sacrificed so you can have the abundant life. Not to come sit in a spiritual country club. Not to quote scriptures. Not to say, oh, God is good. No. He died so you can have life and have life more abundantly. And somebody said to me, Keisha, they said, Pastor, they said, I was going to speak. They said, Pastor, are you going to be able to teach? Are you going to be able to speak? Your daughter just died. I said, no. My daughter's death will not be in vain. You will learn from my daughter's death. My passion will be different. My teaching will be different. My commitment will be different. It will be a blessing. It will not be in vain. Was Jesus' death in vain? In your home? In your life? Was it in vain? I want to leave you with this training philosophy. It may be small, so I want you to screenshot, but this is the training philosophy I want to leave you with. Take this home. Training philosophy. Thresholds and resurrection. Training isn't just about building muscle or speed. It's about transformation. Every session brings a threshold, a moment where weakness, fear, or doubt tries to pull you back. But if you push through, you don't just improve. You resurrect. You leave behind the part of yourself that wanted to stay small, stay comfortable, stay the same. You step into strength, resilience, and a version of yourself that only struggle could reveal. Thresholds are the gates to your rebirth. Cross them. Ladies and gentlemen, whether today, next week, or next year, you're going to face a threshold mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Whether or not you cross that threshold will determine if you will resurrect a new life. The Bible declares that every day we got to carry our cross. This means every day we got to die something new. What are you dying to today so you can be more tomorrow? If you're in the sanctuary today and you recognize that you want the abundant life, in whatever area in life you want to be abundant, but you recognize there's some areas in your life where you have not died to something that you should be dying to, so you can be new, you're standing to your feet. You're saying, not to me, you're saying, God, there's an area between me and you, God, there's an area in my life that I know that I'm still doing, that I know that I shouldn't be doing. It may not even be sin. It may be good, but good is enemy to great. And you're saying, God, I know I need to die to this so I can resurrect the abundant life. If that's you, you're standing. Not before the person next to you, but you're standing before God and you say, God, I'm ready to die to that thing which is holding me back to becoming the best version of myself. God, I know it's going to be uncomfortable, but I'm ready to be comfortable being uncomfortable. If you're watching online, you're just typing in the chat, amen. You're typing in the chat, amen. Like, God, there's an area of my life that I haven't died to yet. And I'm ready to die to that thing, so that I can resurrect the abundant life. Father, you see your children standing, Father. You see your children online, Father. Father, we don't take for granted the opportunity for communion, Father. When we take the bread and we take the wine, which represents the blood and the body, Father, we don't do it, Father, just to do it, Father. We don't do it for show, Father. We do it for transformation, Father. And we know transformation comes at a price. We know that our life comes at a price, Father. And Father, we want to have the abundant life. For you so loved the world that you gave. Well, Father, we so love you, we're willing and ready to give. Whatever it is that we didn't let go of, Father, we loose it, Father. We will no longer walk around with our grave clothes on, Father. We are walking out in freedom, Father. For who the Son sets free is free indeed, Father. So we receive your freedom, Father. We receive your anointing, Father. We receive your blessing, Father. When you say, Lazarus, come forth, Father, we know that you're calling us to come forth to press toward the mark of a higher calling, Father. We love you, Father. We praise you, Father. We magnify and glorify your name because you alone are worthy to be praised. Bless us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, Father. Whatever our hand finds to touch, Father, allow it to be blessed. And bless those who are standing. Bless those who are online. Bless all those who are ready to move forward in a resurrected, abundant life. In Jesus' name, let every believer say amen. Amen. Come on, give God some praise.
We really appreciate you spending your day with us, and we look forward to seeing you again on Wednesday evenings at 6 for Wednesday Night Word with Pastor TJ Tyus. For all of our announcements, upcoming events, and special programming, please visit our social media pages on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. Your tangible support of this ministry makes all the difference in the world, and we can't thank you enough for your commitment. If you'd like to support this ministry, please use our Cash App at $APOCGlobal. If you prefer a more traditional approach, visit our website at www.apocministry.org. On behalf of Pastors Thomas and Tyus, their wives and families, and the whole of your A Place of Change ministry family, until we meet again, be blessed.